We're so glad all of you are here tonight. We thank God for what we feel in His presence in this place. Now I'm going to be real with you. The devil thinks that just because he can stick his head out a little bit in a church service, that he's got the victory over the whole thing. But I'm here to tell you tonight, God's still in control. He's never changed, nor will He. And no matter what goes on around us, God is still going to be God. If you've got any God in you, you ought to stand up and give Him praise tonight. You ought to let Him know how much of being thankful that you are for what He's doing. Come on, let's do it together. Let's give Him a thank you praise tonight. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Come on, give Him a praise of victory. You aren't defeated tonight. You aren't cast down tonight. You aren't destroyed tonight. But surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. Thank you, Jesus. Devil tries to bring distractions on us. You know what I say? So what? So what? Is he going to keep me from where I want to go? Absolutely not. I'm on my way to something. Look over at your neighbor and tell him, I'm on my way to something. Don't you be deterred or discouraged. You get right in here in the Word with us tonight. We're going to read out of the book of 2 Chronicles in the 7th chapter, starting from verse 14. I feel Him in here tonight. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord Jesus. My Lord and my God. My Lord and my God. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for what we feel tonight. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for what you're doing tonight. Oh, we thank you, Jesus. If you're there with us and you're ready to read, say amen. Here we go, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, starting at verse 14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open, and mine ears attend unto the prayer that is made in this place. For now have I chosen and sanctified this house, that my name be there forever, and mine eyes and mine heart shall be there perpetually. And as for thee, if thou wilt walk before me, as David thy father walked, and do according to all that I have commanded thee, and shall observe my statutes and judgments, then will I establish the throne of thy kingdom, according as I have covenanted with David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man to be ruler in Israel. But if you turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I have set before you, and shall go and serve other gods and worship them, then will I pluck them up by the roots out of my land, which I have given them. And this house, which I have sanctified for my name, will I cast out of my sight, and will make it to be a proverb and a byword among all nations. Father, we thank you tonight. We praise you for this moment, this opportunity that you've given to give your word. God, and we never know if it'll be the last, so I pray we preach this as if it were our last time, God. I ask, Lord, that you open up the eyes of your people, open up their ears that they may hear, and call them to action that they may be a doer of what they hear. For God, I feel your warning in the midst of us. God, I feel your quickening of our mortal bodies in this place. God, and I pray that we yield and heed to your beck and call unto your people. God, and I honor you with my life, and I honor you with my service, and I pray you bless this, all of you and none of us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, first of all, let me say that it's good to see all of you. I haven't got to see some of you in some time. It's so good to see your faces. I miss you. When I get to see you, it truly thrills my heart. I thank God for you. I thank Him for what He's been doing in my life. That don't sound like much, maybe, to you, but it means the world to me. He has done so many great things, I can't even begin to count all of His blessings. And as I come to church tonight, I must confess that my heart has been a little weary. And I don't know if anybody else feels that when they're on their way here, but I'm here to tell you, I feel it. Now I begin to ask God, why would I feel like this in my heart? And He began to show me in my spirit that that's how my people feel. They feel weary. They're tired. They feel low and discouraged. So I have to start out before I read anything else, say anything else, and tell you that we're on the winning side. That God will not fail you in your time of need. And all church services aside, all preachers, singers, teaching, Sunday schools and programs aside, if you'll believe in Him, He'll do great things for you. Take all the other things of your life away, and if you'll still have God, you'll still have hope. Take away all that you own and possess, and still have God in your life, you'll still have greatness in the midst of you. Don't hang your head low. Don't be discouraged and weary in well-doing. Church, it's time in due time that we begin to make ourselves ready for the great and appointed day that is upon us. Days are growing darker, and the enemy's grasp is beginning to grow around us. And if there's ever a time where we need to take a stand to be who we are, to know who we are, to know where we're going and know what we're supposed to be doing, it's today. God has called you to greater than you've ever known. He's called this church to do greater than what we're doing. And He has called even for this very hour to be appointed and anointed of Him, that whosoever will believe it and speak of faith shall change the very situation that they're in tonight. Now, I'm no great big evangelist, and I'm nothing special, and where God found me was in a very dark place. But from the very moment I began to speak His name, everything around me began to change for the better. Oh, church, if you just speak His name, you'll see things begin to change. You don't need a great big song to speak the name of Jesus. You don't need everybody dancing to speak the name of Jesus. Only believe. So let me ask you tonight, do you believe? Two people tonight believe. Do you believe? Do you believe in God the Father? Do you believe that He's able? Well, if you know that He's able, you ought to tell that devil right where you're sitting tonight, my God is more than able. You need to have a little talk with yourself tonight. Let's do it. Talk to yourself tonight. Say, I'm warning you. You better get in line with the Word of God. Oh, somebody help me tonight. We're going to talk to ourselves for a minute. I'm warning you. You better get in to where the Word of God shows you to be. If we ain't walking the line, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. Now, let me go into some of this that we read. That's okay. And I want to talk about a word tonight, and the word is humility. Now, the last time we got to preach here, we talked about having a greater passion in our life and how that it seems like so many things are going on around us that it's hard to find true passion for God. that if it's not somebody being sick and us being involved, it's somebody needing us to work a little harder to get things paid. And if it's not that, then something's happened at our house that we've got to take care of whatever's going on there. That if it's not something going on in the house, then our friend needs us and we're not going to be able to make it to church tonight. And if it's not something to do with our friend, then it wraps back around and starts back at our house. And if it's not there today, tomorrow, when you're at your job, the devil may be there with a bad attitude, ready to jump all over you. What am I trying to get to you tonight? No matter where it is that you are, the devil is looking for the time and the moment that he can devour you. He is looking at your countenance. He is looking at what you're thinking. He's looking at what you're doing. And he's waiting for the very moment your faith leaves you and he can harm you. Amen or oh me. We're under attack. You can have a hedge about you and still be under attack. You can have God's armor all around you, but that doesn't stop the fiery darts of the enemy from trying to come and destroy you. I'm telling you, over the past 3 years, I have never been under more attack when I have tried to grow in my calling. I don't know if anybody's ever stepped out before and felt that attack against you, but even when I have tried my hardest, this seems like the enemy's trying that much harder. And I begin to think, God, if I give all that I have, even all the strength I possess, that devil's still going to try and come and destroy me. And I've been praying about how I can stand toe to toe with the devil. Have you ever wondered tonight how you can stand toe to toe with your enemy? Have you ever wondered how you can be victorious over the things you're dealing with? I want to tell you about this word tonight, and that word is humility. Humility is what differs you from the passion of the enemy. Humility is what separates you from the very cold and indifferent world that we live in. Humility is the very substance of selflessness. It defines the good that you do, asking for nothing in return. It defines the thankfulness you have, even though the whole world may be coming against you. It defines the love that you have in your heart. It defines the positive thinking you have in your mind, and it gives you the power to overcome the temptations of the enemy. For a long time, I used to have a little bit of ignorance in my faith. Not be in a service where you couldn't have kept up with me. I was running or dancing or shouting, having a good time. And I thought to myself, come Monday morning, I'm going to put my feet down on the floor and I'm going to be different. I'm going to be different. So I roll out of the bed, my feet hit the floor, and I get that godly authority inside of me. And I say, devil, not today in the name of Jesus. But nothing happens. All right? Then I go on a little bit longer. That boldness gets a little bit less. Devil, I curse you right now in the name of Jesus. You got to go. Things still are hard. And then by the point that things are getting really hard, the boldness is gone. Well, devil, if you would be so kind as to back off of me for today, I would really appreciate it if you just leave me alone. Then we go from being polite to the very first little bit of bitterness. Now, this is what I want to get to. The bitterness of the heart is the poison to the soul. The bitterness of your thoughts is the poison to your actions. When the very moment that happens, where we let the enemy inside of our temple, every good thing we then set forth to do is tainted, and we no longer do it because we have humility, we are executing it out of obligation. Now, you may not feel like you're in that number, but if you came tonight just because you felt like you had to, and not because you wanted to, then there is something that is already happening inside of your temple. If you come in and you lack the desire to worship the Lord together with your brothers and sisters, I'm already here to preach this to you. Something has already tried to step foot inside of your temple. Now, if you're not with me tonight, that's okay. I came prepared for this. There are moments in time when you can start to identify where the devil has snuck into our thinking, snuck into our behavior, snuck into what we're consuming, snuck into what we're listening to, snuck into what we say, snuck into what we do. And by the time we realize it, we're doing things not for ourselves, but we're doing it for our own gain and our own ambition. We're not doing it for a sense of being selfless. We're here tonight because we don't want the pastor to be mad at us. We're here tonight because I want to make sure my family comes. We're here tonight just because I know if I'm not there, they'll talk about me for not being there. But I'm here to tell you tonight, it's got to be something more in you than just being here. It's got to be something more in you than just existing in the courts. God wants you to be a part of something greater. He wants you to be a part of something holy. He wants you to be a part of something with a little bit of passion inside of your life. I'm going to give you the first of three warnings that God put in my spirit. Here's number one. Don't just exist in His presence. Don't just exist in His presence. What are you telling me? Doris has used this for a long time, and I'm going to borrow it from her. She talks about the analogy of someone going out in the rain and could be poured on, soaked completely. We represent that to God's anointing, right? But if we step out there and have our umbrella up, we ain't getting a drop. Now, first of all, if you try to do anything out of obligation with bitterness already in your heart, it will not profit anything. I'm going to go through this. I feel like it's necessary. If I just shake my hands, brother, because I have to, and not because I want to, then there is already something that's separating us. Do you hear what I'm saying? If I try to be your friend, but at the end of the day, when you need me, I'm not there, then there's already something that's trying to come between us. If we cannot back who we say is our leaders, hallelujah, if we cannot back who represents us as a church, then there's already something that's sitting between us. If we cannot back what it is that's being sung in the house of the Lord, then whether you want to acknowledge it or not, there is something that is sitting in between your worship to God and what is actually going on. When something gets in between, we're already too late. Can we talk about this? Is this all right? I'm just going to be real plain for a few minutes. Everybody in this place wants people to be saved, do we not? I hope so. But if we go through an entire night and we walk out those doors with little or no concern for the well-being of people that need God, then something has already begun to set in on your life. If we come in, and this is needed everywhere, I'm not just preaching this here, it's going to go all over the internet where I can get it. If you're just coming to a church and you feel something, but you do nothing with it, then you have put something in between God's presence and your temple. And when there is something in between what is meant for us and where we actually are, then there is a gap between where we should be. That barrier, That separation is the area where the devil has power. The gap between the person you can be and the person you are is where the enemy wants to destroy you. You see, the very moment you connect with God's presence, he can't do anything with that anymore. But if he can get in before you ever get there and talk you out of your calling, talk you out of your praise, talk you out of your testimony, then that middle ground that you have, the enemy's ready to come and get you. Now, temptation is the introduction of the enemy in a place where he can be found. How many of you know wherever you go, where you go to do good, the devil's going to try to mess with you, okay? So if we just come to exist, then we are aware of his presence, but we are not engaged to his presence. To only be aware of something and not engaged in it would be the difference between somebody being excited that the Vols won or just being generally pleased that they're a good team this year. There is something different about genuine excitement about when you're engaged with something. Now, some of you parents in here, I've not had this privilege. I've had some nieces and nephews that I've lived through a little bit. But when you first have children, before that, you always talked about what was up with you, your life, your accomplishments, your success. Then that very moment you have some kids, the only thing people ever hear you talk about is your kids. You talk about their first bowel movement and how proud you were of it. You talked about the first tooth that they grew out and where it was and how big it was. You're proud of it. You talk about that first time they won the spelling bee or the first time they were in the school play or the first time that they took their first steps, when all of a sudden the only thing people ever hear from you is your kids. Now, why is that? Because you are not just existing with your children. You're engaged with them. Now, if we just exist with God, then we're not going to really talk about how good he is. But if we are engaged with him, then we're not just existing in his presence. We're going to be excited about it. I'm here to tell you tonight, I cannot continue to try and culture up a praise out of you. I have ran out of energy. I've ran out of things to say to help you identify the reason you already should be praising God. I've reached the point in my life where I'm mature enough to tell you this from one grown up to another. You ought to have enough blessings that you're counting to be able to come in and thank God every time that you step in the door. Before the first song, before the first sermon, you ought to have so much building up in you that somebody will have to keep you down just to keep you from bursting forth with praise. But what's happening? We're coming in with empty vessels. We get up and we go through a day. We drive all over Knoxville, Jacksboro, LaFollette, and nothing happens to us. And we take that little blessing that God gave us and we just throw it away. We wake up with good health. We hear of all kinds of people with trouble. And we don't want to thank God for good health, so we just throw that one away too. We've got all of our bills paid. I feel this all over me. We've got all our bills paid. We've got our children taken care of. They're going to church with us, and we don't think we've got anything, so we take this other little nugget and we throw it over to the side. Hallelujah, I'm here to tell you tonight, you walked in with far less than what you should have, because if you look back in the days you've been living in, there's all kinds of little things that God's been doing for you. There's things that are just all around you that you're not even aware of that's going on, that God is is trying to do in your life. And if you would not just exist with Him, but be engaged with Him, you'd say, Lord, I see how you kept me safe on the interstate. God, I see how you're paying my bills. God, I see how you're blessing my children. God, I see how you're blessing my life. Lord, I see how you're keeping the hand of the enemy back. God, I see when I'm in troubled times that you're still my God. We're walking in with less than what we've been given, and we're asking people that are walking in with less than they've been given to offer something they don't have. Amen or oh me, whatever you want to pick tonight. We're coming in with less than what we've been given, and we have nothing to offer, and our praise feels empty, and that's why we don't want to get up and thank Him for anything, because we've got nothing to thank Him for. Somebody will be singing, when I look around and see the good things, and you got Brother Criticism saying, well, what in the world is he talking about? God's not done anything for me this week. Have you seen how the devil's been riding my back? Let us enter into His gates with thanksgiving. What is that really saying? Let me come into His house with the good that He has done for me. Let me enter into this sanctuary being engaged with what He has already begun in my life. You may not be where you want to be yet, but if He has started the work, sis, He's going to finish what He started. We just got to look around at all that He's doing, pick up the pieces and say, God, I may be broken, I may be shattered all around, but piece by piece, you're putting back together what I could have never done on my own. Some of you need this word tonight. You've got families that need put together. You've got children that need to be mended. You've got co-workers that need this move of God, and I'm here to speak it in the name of Jesus, that the broken pieces begin to come together. Somebody ought to say, put it together, Lord. Let me read this to you before we go on. True humility is not thinking less of yourself, it's thinking of yourself less. You don't have to make yourself feel absolutely worthless to get humble. Now, when I was a rookie in the Lord, I'm just sharing this because I feel like some of you are here. So I'm just going to talk about it. Now, when I first started out in God, I had to really dig deep in my pain to get humble. Has anybody been there before? A few of us. I didn't really know how to be humble. So the only way I knew how was to dig into something that hurt, that I wasn't ready to move forward in. And I'd reach that place of what I felt like was humbleness, but I recognized now what it was. You know what it was? It was pity. It was pity. Now don't take me the wrong way when I be very stout about this, when I say humbleness will go far more than pity. You see, God didn't raise you to feel sorry for yourself. He did not make you to feel less than who He called you to be. He didn't call you to say, I'm never going to make it. He didn't call you to say, I don't think I'm going to make it today. He didn't call you to say, I just need to end this because there's nothing more to look forward to. So as I began to understand the difference between pity and humbleness, I stopped using my pain to bring out emotion and began to engage God in an entirely different way. Now I'm just going to talk a little bit about this because some of your prayer lives need a tune-up. Now Lord, you know what I'm dealing with. And here's the humbling part. And I can't do this without you. I don't have to go back and beat myself up to the point that I don't even have the joy to pray. Humbleness is about what you will acknowledge about you that you will magnify God more in. I decrease that he may increase. If we want to start standing toe to toe with the enemy, this is going to sound counterintuitive, but you're going to have to think of yourself less than what you are. Got real quiet, didn't it, brother? Nobody wants to hear that they'll have to think of themselves less. Well, brother, if you only knew what I've been through. How many of you said that under your breath just now? If you only knew what I was going through, you wouldn't tell me to think of myself less. But I'm going to be real with you. It wouldn't hurt any of us or this world a bit to think of ourselves less. My problem that I identify with us so-called Christians is that we think of ourselves more than we do of God. We think of ourselves so much more that we think we have no reason to praise him, and we're okay with that. We have no reason to study his word, and we're okay with that. We have no reason to get down and pray every day, to bless our food every day, to bless the offering plate every day, to come to church with a little bit of passion on a regular basis, and we're cool with that. Do you know why? Because we're thinking of ourselves more than we are of God. Oh yeah, I went there. Now I knew it was going to come to this. But I just took that little devil and I put him right there and I squashed him out because I don't have time to play games. Now let me be real plain. Here's your second of what I want to give you is, let me call it friendly advice. Some of you may feel rebuked when I say warning, but I'm going to say friendly advice. Number one, don't just exist in his presence. Number two, stop feeling sorry for yourself. Out of negative thinking produces the essence of darkness. Out of your negative thoughts produces an aura of the devil. Nobody wants to hear this these days. They just want to be angry and be okay. But the very moment you let your anger drive who you are, when you're walking around, nobody can see who God is because you've turned the lights out. When people come in here, they may see the lights on in this building. Oh yeah, we're going here. We've already come too far to go back now. When we come in here and we have a negative attitude, oh, it's not going to be any better. Oh, that brother's just going to say the same stuff he's been saying. Oh, I can't stand the way it sounds. Oh, I can't stand the what they sing. I can't stand what they preach. I just can't go here. It's too hot. It's too cold. Well, I can't get up there. I wish they'd leave me a spot open to park. It's too much for me to walk. I don't like who's there. I don't like what they're wearing. I don't like what they're saying. We have this whole list of stuff that comes in the door with us, and we expect somebody to get saved in the midst of the negativity. I'm here to tell you right now, the only thing you're going to do is produce another person that's a so-called Christian. But so-called Christians don't chase demons back. So-called Christians don't heal the sick. So-called Christians don't heal the leper. They produce chaos. Now some of you are, you're on board with me on that, right? But what if I told you that the so-called Christians we're talking about, I'm not talking about anybody outside of this building. Does that change your thoughts on it a little bit? Can you still amen like you did just then? Is that all right? He said there'd be a people. Now I just got to talk about this. This is important. This is good teaching. He said there'd be a people that would say, Lord, Lord. And he would tell them, depart from me. I never knew you. How can there be a people that would call out to the Lord and he not know them? That means to tell me that there is a counterfeit that is being raised up in our churches today. They say they believe in healing, but they've not healed anybody in a long time. They say they believe in saving souls, but they've not been concerned about saving anybody but themselves in a long time. Now, this church was built that we would grow as Christians. It was not built that we would let no one else into the clique. It was not built so that we would come in and just be friends with everybody that we know and never like anybody that we don't. It was built for a far greater divine purpose. It was meant for more than what we're making it. I'll tell you that right now. Stop feeling sorry for yourself. Look over at somebody and tell them, you've got to stop feeling sorry for yourself. Now, I wrote this down because some of you may be thinking, you're being a little hard on me, brother. Well, let me read this about what humbleness does, okay? Humbleness will exalt you. For he that will be exalted shall be what? Abased. But he that will be humbled or abased shall be lifted up. So when we simply acknowledge where we need God, instead of using it as a weapon against ourselves, then we are letting God be on the same team. God is not here to browbeat you. He's not here through any person that ever speaks to you about God is not here to judge you, to make you feel less of yourself. Did you know we're on the same team? We're on the same roster. There are no bench warmers on this team. There isn't any star players on this team. One body, one mind, one accord. One spirit, one faith, one team. Are you with me tonight? We are all called into the same body. That means when we are not willing to serve together, we disgrace the body of Christ. We come in, we have nothing to give, no thankfulness. Thankfulness is the gateway to humbleness. And if we have nothing to thank God for, we sure won't be humble. And if we will not be humble, we will not create an atmosphere for Him. There would be, the scripture said, spiritual wickedness in high places. Where does that live? Right here. And if we've already made up our mind we're not going to do anything when we get to church, if we've already made up our mind that I just don't think I'm going to praise Him, if we've already made up our mind on our way home, that guy's crazy, I ain't receiving nothing, let me tell you what's going to happen. Emptiness will be the gateway to bitterness, and bitterness will divide you from what God has promised is yours. Did you get that tonight? Emptiness will produce bitterness, and bitterness will separate you from where you're at and where God has promised you to be. How long are we going to leave this gap between us and the Father? This I've been wondering about. Let me read this to you. Humbleness will make you be thankful for what you have. What I have, when I compare it to so many others with millions and billions and trillions of dollars, it makes me feel real small. And I see these people, Brother Matt, at my job, pull in with their Porsche cars. They'll be bragging about, oh, there's only one out of six of these made in the entire United States. They drive cars I can't even afford to look at. And they come in dressed and things I wish I could afford to wear. And they go and they look exactly the same all the time, which tells me they can afford to get their hair done all the time and get their beard taken care of all the time. And I'm thinking to myself, have I missed something? Is there something more that I'm supposed to be to that I've not got yet? And here's something I've learned. You don't have to have everything to be happy. You don't have to have this church filled up to the top of this building to be a great church. You don't have to have everything all together before you call it right. You've got to get started out on the right foot. That's the key. And everything starts with our frame of mind and how much we believe. Now, when you connect your frame of mind with what you believe, what does that produce? Your faith. Without faith, what you'll do is unprofitable, ineffective, not useful. And I'm here to tell you, if we keep coming in with nothing to offer, waiting on the praise team to get us excited about being thankful for something, waiting on the preacher to get us stirred up to be excited about something, then my friend, I go ahead and warn you, there's already a gap between you and where God wants you, and the devil will come to tempt you to destroy your life. Don't walk out of here and say you didn't hear it here first. God's giving you an eye-opening message tonight. He's trying to get your attention tonight. Whether you accept it or not is not my charge. I'm just here to give it. But I'm here to give you this warning tonight. You better understand this. Every time you turn God away, there is wickedness that is on the pathway. Every time you reject giving Him honor when you know you should, there is an open door to more wickedness inside of your life. This Bible talks about all the things He would do for them, how He'd heal their land, He'd save their homes, He'd give them all of His glory if they turned to Him. But if they turned away, evil would be amongst it. I talk to people all the time that are living their life in the roller coaster way. When it's good, I just want to stay up here. But we all know that with every hill comes a dip. Sometimes you'll go forward and dip, or sometimes you'll fail and go back the other way and fall. But my friend, hear me tonight. It does not matter how you fall that defines you. It's what you do when you get back up that counts. Now, we all have an appointed amount of time to serve the Lord on this earth. Each and every one of your days are numbered. And God has appointed you with this opportunity to serve Him. Did you know that? He didn't just call you to come sit here. Shake your head, no, He did not call you to come and sit here. He didn't call us to be brother and sister criticism. Have you met them? They're real nice people. They're hard on you behind your back, though. Yeah, I've met them. They're tough. But I've learned to win over that. What are you getting at, brother? He has given all of us, each and every breath you're drawing in this moment is appointed of Him. He meant for you to have more. He has called you to have more than you're even holding tonight. He said in the last days that He would pour out His Spirit on everyone. That means there should be no empty cups in here. There should be no empty praise in here. There should be no empty prayers at home. There should be no emptiness in our Bible studies. But here's the truth of it all. We want to always identify the problem, but I'm going to present you with what you need to do to fix this. Are you ready? If you identified something tonight as we've been talking that's between you and God, there's only one way to turn it around, and that is to repent. People will run laps around the building before they'll repent. They'll shout the house down, woo, glory to God, before they'll get up here and repent. They'll say amen before they'll say, oh me. To turn around is to repent. Now here's the deal, it's plain and simple. If there's anything in your heart that is keeping you, if there's anything in your heart that has created a gap between you and God and the devil is absolutely riding you out, then there's a possibility of hope for something different. Here's what we have to do. I'm going to be real plain spoken about this. You come to God, first of all. Don't wait on Him to turn on the bright lights in your car. Don't wait on Him to stir you up by something horrible happening to you. You approach Him. He said those that would draw nigh unto Him, He would draw nigh to them. You've got to approach God. That means swallow your pride. Swallow your pride and come up to the Father and admit that there is something that you have had that has kept you from being able to be happy with your life. That's it. You don't need a three-piece suit for that. You don't need a giant revival for that. You just need to have a moment of reality with yourself and ask the simple question, is there anything that's keeping me from having a desire to see people saved? Is there anything that's keeping me from my desire to sing and to play and to worship God? Is there anything that's keeping me from wanting to contribute or be benevolent or just have a merry heart towards everyone? And I'm going to be real with you tonight. I don't think there's a single one of us here that's exempt. Now I'm going to be even more real. I like real talk. Don't just talk about how good it is. Get into where it's good. I'm all about real talk, so I'm going to be real with you. We all have a gap that needs to tighten up. We all have things that have kept us, even from this service tonight, being what it was meant to be. Do you hear me? It was meant to be more than we let it, but we come in with something in between us and God that's keeping it from operating in the full potential of God's anointing. Now, God's anointing cannot dwell where spot and blemish is. You can be the most talented singer in the world, but if you've got spots in your life, it will never prosper. If you're unwilling to forgive, no matter how much good you do, it's not going to improve your life. I remember when I was growing up that when preachers preached, they got right to the point. And they said, if there was any sin in your life that kept you from God, there was only one place for the likes of you. And that kind of preaching scared me to death. Now, I'm not throwing a battle axe at you. I'm throwing a lifeboat. I'm not here to throw at something at you and make you feel less of yourself. Me first. And I'm going to do this first. I'm going to follow my own sword tonight. I admit, the way things have been going has left me confused. It's left me bitter. Has left me weary. Has left me questioning my purpose. And I'm not going to ask you if you're there. I know you are. Maybe all of you in here tonight are here because you know someone else was counting on you to be here. Maybe you're here tonight because you thought, well, I got nowhere else to go. Might as well go. But I just want to remind you of one thing. And if you forget everything else I say the rest of our lives, I want you to pay attention to me right now. Hear me tonight. This building, this Jesus, this God you serve is so much more than just a building. It's so much more than just living from Sunday to Sunday. It's so much more than just trusting Him only when you suffer. It's so much more than that. God was God to them when they were in bondage and had no way out. And He took them from Egypt to the promise. But do you notice that there was a gap they had to close to get there? If you look at each trial they faced, my friend, you can see how there's a phase in our life where we look at the ocean and feel like what we've got to overcome is impossible. There was a part of my character as a human being. I looked at that water. I looked at my human nature and said, there's no way I can be free from drugs. There's no way I'll ever be free. But just as they stretched forth their hand and the sea parted, I believed and God made the way. There's been moments where I've sat in the wilderness too long, Sharon, questioned what I was doing, why I was doing it, why I was there, if anybody cared, if anybody wanted me there. And I've been in that place lately, wondering what it is I'm supposed to do. Why is it that I'm still here? Wondering, well, is there something more for me than where I'm sitting? But I'm going to be real with you tonight as I confess this from my heart. You've got to get out of the wilderness and stop feeling sorry for yourself. You've got to know there's a promise that God already gave you from the very day He appointed you to be who you are. And I'm not going to live the rest of my life inside of the wilderness. We're only meant to go through these things for a little while. But God has called us to close the gap, that as we get closer to Him, it draws us more close to what He's promised us to have. Now I say this as I close. If you're questioning your purpose, if you feel weary, I want you to know from the bottom of my heart, I've been there with you. I've been there. I've been tired of just coming. I've been tired of just existing. I've been tired of feeling like what I'm doing, it's just going to be forgotten the next day. I've felt that. And as I felt that, as I said it, as I started this message, as I felt that, I called to God and said, Lord, what is it that I need in order to go on? God, what am I missing in order to grow? And He produced that scripture to me, if my people, which are called by my name, hallelujah, if you will, as you know you are called by Him, turn to Him and give Him your heart, He will take care of everything else that you have. Amen. Take care of your families, your children, your bills. The Bible says, seek you first the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness, and all these other things shall be added to you. I'm here to tell you, you may not want to acknowledge it. You may live in denial of yourself, but I'm here to tell you that if you'll look at yourself and look at me, we've all got gaps between where we are and where we need to be. We've all got more people we need to be witnessing to. Three people agree with that. We've got more people we need to be witnessing to. All right, there you are. Welcome back. We've all got more praising that we need to do in the house of God, because He's done a lot, amen? He's done more than we could ever thank Him for, right? So we've got to stop coming in with empty vessels, right? But let me round back up and say this as I close. Can you come get a song for us? If you feel a gap between you and God, just repent. Can you say that with me tonight? Let's just first say what we know we need to do first. Just repent. Let me hear you say it tonight. Just repent. Just come back to God. Doesn't have to be dramatic. You don't have to dig at down to in your pain to feel sorry for yourself of what you've done. Humbleness is about acknowledging what you cannot do without Him. Humbleness is about doing it in such a way that invites Him to help you. If I was falling to the wayside and I saw somebody walking by, I'd sure want them to help me. If I'm on the side of the road with a flat tire and no spare, I sure wish somebody would stop by and help me with another tire. But above all that, when your heart is broken, when you feel weary, God is passing by your way. And all you have to do is simply say, Lord, I need your help. This is bigger than me. What I feel is bigger than me. What I'm up against is bigger than me. But there is no giant, no disease, no amount of debt, and no persecution by other people that could ever succeed against God's plan for you. Go ahead and stand with us. I'm going to turn it loose right there.